do you think you might want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a veterinarian or actor.
I want to be an engineer.
What does this look like?
It looks like an arrow with a straight line.
What about this one?
It looks like a scribbled line with an arrow.
What drew me to science, I think, was the fact that it lets you explore the world around you. It sort of satiates your natural curiosity. And when I was small, I used to love to do stuff like go out into a big empty lot in the neighborhood and look for snakes, see what was alive in a puddle, capture tadpoles and bring them home and watch them mature. As I grew up, I just got more and more interested in poking around at the world around me. I think that's why I'm a microbiologist and a biologist to this day. You know, I started off poking squishy things in a pond, and now I just kind of poke smaller squishy things in the name of public health.
There's an amusing image of the route to success making the rounds on the internet. Perhaps you've seen it. It's often assumed that the route to success is a straight line, but for many it's a squiggly line of trying things out, dead ends, and detours. That's definitely been my own experience, so I'm quite intrigued by stories about others that don't necessarily follow straight lines. I'm fascinated by people that find careers they love from an unforeseen series of circumstances. One of those still embarking on an unexpected journey is Dr. Jennifer Gardy. Like myself, she's an alumna of both SFU and the Banff Center's Science Communication Program. She's an assistant professor at the School of Population and Public Health at the University of British Columbia. But you might also have seen her on television. This story is a window into her journey.
This is the nature of things.
We're constantly inundated with advice. Sugar makes children hyper. Brown eggs are healthier than white. We should drink 8 glasses of water a day. But are any of these true? I'm Dr. Jennifer Gardy, and I intend to find out.
This is exciting. It's cool to do radio.
I wanted to start by getting you to go way back and maybe talk to me about when you were a little kid. Do you have any first memories of what you wanted to be when you grew up?
When I was a little kid, I had a career plan set out that was completely ridiculous. My plan was to be a doctor in the morning, a dentist in the afternoon, and then a ballerina at night. I don't know why I thought that I was capable of having 3 careers in a single day, every single day. But what's kind of interesting is looking back on that now, I see that the desire to do science was there, something sort of medical, health related, but at the same time, the desire to perform, to communicate was there too, had very early origins. I don't think my career trajectory is so much a trajectory as a random walk through an interesting landscape. You know, I had always been interested in science and science communication, going back to when I was a kid and having this weird desire to be a doctor in the morning and the ballerina in the evening. But as I went through school, I became more and more focused on the sciences and more interested in biology and then microbiology. I hate to admit it, but a formative influence in my career was seeing outbreaks with Dustin Hoffman.
The greatest medical crisis of all time.
We can't stop it.
Terrible movie, but really got me interested in infectious diseases. And I think maybe also kind of planted a bit of the seed that science communication is a thing. You can illustrate science, you know, through Hollywood.
Many people are dying and are going to continue to die unless we find this monkey.
So with the infectious disease track, the sort of Dustin Hoffman thing in mind, I went to UBC as an undergraduate, ended up doing cell biology and genetics as a degree with a concentration in some bacterial and viral pathogenesis. So I was following the canonical sort of science script. And on the side, I was working at the campus newspapers, and this happened unintentionally, it wasn't me saying, oh, I really want to do, you know, science communication as a career one day, I better equip myself with communication skills. It was me reading one paper in particular, this sort of satire paper put out by the Science Undergraduate Society. It was very much in the style of The Onion. I was reading it in my first year in between classes, and I thought, this paper is hilarious, these people would be fun to hang out with, I should go figure out where their office is and go say hi. So at the beginning of second year, I screwed up the confidence to go and introduce myself and say, hey, I like your paper, can I help too? And the paper guys were like, this is fantastic, there's a girl here, we've never seen one of these in our office. Of course you can write for the paper. So worked with them for the rest of my undergraduate career.
After her undergraduate degree at the University of British Columbia, Gardy headed to McGill University in Montreal, where she pursued a graduate diploma in biotechnology. But there, too, she explored her dual career interests, finding an opportunity to moonlight at a newspaper, the Montreal Gazette. She returned to Vancouver to do a PhD at Simon Fraser University in computational analysis of microbial genomes. There, too, she found an opportunity to freelance, writing science stories for SFU News. And then,
through the SFU community, got to know Mark Winston, who had been a professor in biology, but at the time was starting up the Center for Dialogue, and he's a great science communicator. So I sat down and said, you know, Mark, what do I need to know? Give me some advice. So we chatted and chatted and chatted, and he said, you know, one of the things that I'm involved with, it's going to be starting at some point, but it's going to be this great program at the Banff Center in science communications. When it happens for the first time, I'll let you know, and you should come. So that ended up happening for the first time in 2006, and I just finished my PhD and transitioned to a postdoc, again doing computational biology and understanding infectious diseases over at UBC. But as my graduation present, my parents paid for my tuition to go to this Banff workshop. And while I was there, I had gotten to thinking, you know, if writing about science is X amount of fun, then talking about it on television is probably 100x the amount of fun, if not even more orders of magnitude than that. So just harassed the faculty that was involved with television in any way, people like Jay Ingram and Henry Kowalski. I bugged them to the ends of the earth. I said, you know, what do you need to do to get on science television? How do you do it? Give me scripts to practice. Watch me read this. Okay, what can I do better? Bugged them. But it worked. Not too long after that Banff workshop finished, maybe about a month or two, CBC Television was looking for hosts for a new 8-part series that they had planned, a kind of spin-off of The Nature of Things. So I had a little audition video of me reading Daily Planet scripts that Jay had given me to practice. Sent it in, they liked it, did a callback audition in person where you had to kind of come up with an experiment and demonstrate it on camera. Got the job. And the thing about science television is once you do it once and you do it well, people just keep inviting you back to do it more. There's right. No sort of Craigslist job posting for TV hosts. It's all word of mouth. Now I've got this strange career where science communications is one thing that I do. Maybe about 20% of my time is devoted to it. And the other 80% of my time, I'm basically Dustin Hoffman in Outbreak.
Your town is being quarantined.
minus the helicopter chases, minus the, you know, trying to beg a hemorrhaging monkey to save America. It's a little more routine than that. It's a little more sort of meetings and just pushing data around than I expected. But yeah, I managed to achieve the dream.
Which aspects of your career have been unexpected?
Which aspects of my career have been unexpected? All of them. Every aspect, I think. I I always sort of followed an opportunistic path rather than this sort of straight arrow trajectory. It was very much a winding road. What landed in my lap that seemed interesting at the time? Oh, let's go in that direction for a little bit. That happened in science. You know, my original goal was Dustin Hoffman and Outbreak, but I wandered through, you know, computational biology, cell biology and genetics, microbial genomics, immunology, information visualization. And then, only once I'd taken that very strange path, did it all sort of coalesce into Dustin Hoffman and Outbreak, but built on this very odd, diverse set of experiences that kind of allowed me to, in my research practice, kind of create a new area of investigation and do something quite unique. And the same thing happened with science communication. It was always just following my nose from, hey, this campus paper looks like a fun place to work, to, oh, this magazine needs somebody to help them with their science, sure, no problem, to, hey, look, CBC is looking for somebody, I should go in that direction. So I've never had a plan. I've never known what's next. I've never said, okay, this is where I want to be in 1 year, in 5 years, or 10 years. It's just, you know, see what the day brings, see what your network brings you, what word of mouth and opportunities land in your lap, and follow the ones that look interesting. Don't follow your head necessarily, follow your heart, and your head will follow.
A big thank you to Dr. Jennifer Gardy for sharing her interesting story. And high fives to Tamsin Ogden and Clara Beckwith Jamieson, budding science communicators of the future. I'm Leslie Evans Ogden. Thanks for listening.